You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Welcome to episode we don't know, but this is one of the summer 2012 EP episodes that we are advancedly pre-recording for when we are at conventions and just on vacation. This is the Webcomic Beacon here on webcomicbeacon.com, a part of the Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007 with webcomics, comics, comic books, news, tropes, web fiction, and more at webcastbeacon.com. I'm Fess of ArgerComic.com. With me, we have Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com.
Well, hello there.
And this on this special EP episode that we are experimenting with and trying things out, getting people on the show by random request, we have... Jesus Christ, I can't believe...
Just say our names. You don't have to use the last ones.
Nope. I gotta figure out this last name now. Rachel and Jerry Kislinski.
Perfect.
Yes.
There you go.
Hooray!
Couldn't have done better.
All right.
But he could have done worse.
Oh, yes.
Significant.
That's our Fezziwig.
All right. Some people from some of our listeners may remember Rachel from episodes in the past. I can't remember specifically which ones, but I believe Rachel might have been the very first person to draw Becky as a furry. May not have been, but I believe she was. So, we're not here to talk about her other comic, Last Resort, at Last Resort with a 040.com. We are talking about a joint comic done by Jerry and Rachel. This is a father-daughter team. Bug Pudding at bugpudding.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I might have doubly welcomed you, but nonetheless. Okay, so Bug Pudding, what is this?
It's definitely not something you want to eat, I'll tell you that.
No.
Maybe if you're Bear Grylls.
Bug Pudding is an anthropomorphic comic. It's about a whole assortment of critters that live in a mythical place in Georgia in the U.S. And it's just basically about their social interactions.
Hmm. Jerry, are you the writer then? Or is it a
kit?
It's a what?
I write and I draw, yes.
Okay, you do both.
Yes.
So, Rachel, what do you do?
She harasses me on a regular basis.
I'm kicking the pants.
All right.
So it's really more of his comic than a joint venture, but you get the idea.
Okay.
She got me into it, and now I'm the one up to my neck with it.
I was just about to ask, does daughter follow father, or is father following daughter?
No, father followed daughter. She was doing Last Resort for several years.
I started putting Last Resort out on a weekly basis in 2007, and...
Bug Pudding started in July of 2009.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, so I followed Rachel.
So clearly, Jerry, you're following in the footsteps of webcomics, but where has the artistic integrity begun?
Well, I started when I was 17 doing commercial animation.
Okay.
So my initial background was doing animated television commercials the old-fashioned way, all This was long before computers were in animation.
Mm-hmm. Every single frame.
Yeah, if you've ever shot an a 1 minute animated commercial on a traditional animation camera, that's a lot of work.
I have not done anything like that, but I think there's a lot of us that tried to make animated GIFs, and when we thought we were done, we realized that's not nearly enough frames. Yeah. And then we gave up on the next one.
Basically, that my background started in animation, but I've always been a big fan of the sequential art part of the media, and so drawing comics was just something that I always wanted to do. But it was Rachel doing it in with Last Resort that finally kind of gave me the courage or the motivation or the inspiration or whatever you want to call it to actually get out there and do it.
Awesome.
And she had to push me pretty hard for about 6 months.
You kept saying you wanted to do it. You kept saying you wanted to do this and do that, and you were coming up with all these different characters. And at some point, I just had to sit you down and go, no, start drawing, figure out the rest later.
Yeah, well, it was a matter of trying to get past the initial, oh, it's got to be perfect before it can be public.
And hey, this is webcomics. Nuh-uh. No, I totally understand the mentality, and that's what holds a lot of people back from just getting started. Just thinking about it way too much, I'm curious about your animation history. Are you able to tell us anything that you've done that we might recognize?
Not really. All of the stuff that I was involved with was commercials that were local. We used to live in Memphis, Tennessee, and so most of the stuff was just local. Back in those days, I guess that was in the 60s, a lot of television commercials in a local area were done locally, and so that was where our animation was done.
So nothing like Kellogg's commercials with wacky characters and
no. Our commercials were banks and insurance companies and bread companies.
So little character coming on is like, hey, use this and.
Well, actually, we had a really good. I can't claim the idea as being my own. I was certainly just a young kid working with some other pros in the studio, but the idea that they came up with, which was pretty smart, was we made generic commercials for banks. Mm-hmm. and for insurance companies and like I say, for bread companies. And then our salespeople would go into the various local TV markets around the South, and we would find a bank in a particular market, and we would put their logo essentially onto our commercial, and obviously the voiceover was custom to whoever the client was.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could make a 1 minute commercial and reuse it dozens of times, and because you would just go into each different individual market and find a similar type of account, which was very important because obviously the cost of even in the early 60s, the cost of doing a 1 minute animated commercial was fairly high. Mm-hmm. So this way you could spread that cost out over 10 or 12 different clients.
Well, excellent. And
that's probably as much as you care to know about animation, I guess.
we haven't delved too much into animation here on the Webcomic Beacon podcast that didn't have a large aid of computers. So You started.
One thing I will say, Bug, when you look at Bug Pudding, you can see, or at least I can see, and so I assume most people can see, the animation influence, because I tend to use the same techniques that I would do if I were storyboarding or if I were keyframing a series of moves for a character in my panel layouts and in my character movements.
Mm-hmm. There is I've been going through this, and it I can't. Even if we have positions of a character that are fairly similar, there are little differences that I notice. A slight shrug, a leaning, and it does. It does. It feels like there's a lot of movement in a stationary comic, I think.
Well, I certainly do that instinctively. It's not that I necessarily plan to do a lot of it that way or not. It's just that's the way I visualize.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. What is your artistic background? Did you go to school for this, or are you just really good?
No, I can honestly say that I'm not sure that I have ever had a single art course. My educational background is I have a degree in electrical engineering, and my business background is in corporate management. So no, I just drawing was just something I started doing when I was pre-teenage, and I was certainly wanting to do that professionally, but it wasn't something that was easy to get into.
Hmm. Hmm.
Did you have any, I don't know, heroes or inspirations
that
sort of shaped your style?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously my biggest influences were Walt Kelly of Pogo, and certainly Friz Freleng and Chuck Jones.
Mm, yes, a little Chuck Jones.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do notice that.
Yeah, I definitely was heavily influenced by Warner Brothers and the Looney Tunes. Mm. I also was influenced by Jeff McNelly, the late Jeff McNelly, who did Shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to do anthropomorphic comics. That was just something that I always felt very connected to as I was growing up.
As far as the website goes, did you – I mean, I don't know what the age difference is between father and daughter here, but were you tech savvy enough to figure it out on your own, or did Rachel have to help you?
This guy's been programming since I was knee-high to him.
My educational background was in electrical engineering,
right,
but most of my business career was in software engineering and software design. So I'm certainly not anywhere close to as technically competent as Rachel is, but I was occasionally I had to get her to help me with stuff, but most of it I've kind of fumbled through on my own.
I know that feeling.
Oh yeah. But it's really not technical a hurdle to get over. I mean, if you there
Once
are
you get WordPress, come on, seriously.
Well, but still, you know, to tweak and sweeten WordPress is still takes some effort.
Got to wear so many hats.
I think the bigger hurdle for me was the graphical software, learning how to to fumble my way around in Photoshop and Adobe Illustrator and things like that mm-hmm. was probably more of a technical challenge than trying to figure out how to set up a web page.
So let's talk about the creation process here. Can you walk us through a typical sure. strip?
Sure. Normally, well, first of all, bug pudding is a story format type of comic as opposed to a gag per strip type comic.
Mm-hmm. Though it's as a strip.
Yeah. What my goal has always been is that every strip, every Tuesday, Thursday strip would be humorous in and of itself, but it's all part of a continuous storyline.
Right.
So a typical bug pudding story actually runs, I would say it runs around 6 months, for each storyline. So the first thing I typically do is come up with what the overall story idea is going to be. I plot it out and basically decide how many strips I'm going to use for each section of the story. And then once I get down to that, then I will, as I'm doing the individual strips, I will add more of the humor into it. I don't try to write the humor into the initial story
okay.
necessarily. The idea behind the initial story is to come up with a very humorous situation, because I'm trying to make sure that I give my characters the opportunity to interact with each other, because that's where the real humor comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Each individual strip, I guess if you want to talk about that part of the process, I typically will decide for a strip what the timing, what the pacing of that particular strip is. Do I want to do it in three panels, in four panels, in five panels, six panels, whatever, depending on the interaction and the timing of the strip. And then I figure out the basic dialogue for that particular strip and lay that in. And then I blue pencil the overall action.
Mm-hmm.
From that, this is a fairly standard process. I guess most people do it this way. Except I work all digital, which I guess is kind of surprising sometimes to people because of the fact now when you look at somebody my age, you would, and in particular who started working on Bristol board with brush and ink. But for web comics, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me, at least. And I know there are a lot of people that don't think this way, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to do it on paper and scan it into the computer. It seems like it makes more sense to just go ahead and draw it into the computer directly.
Do you use a tablet then?
I use a Cintiq.
Ah, of course. Yeah. Best way to go.
Yeah.
Do you ever break out the old Bristol board and brushes for other stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do that for conventions where I do sketch cards and things on Bristol with pencil and pen and ink and brush and ink. Because obviously one of the problems of not doing the comic on Bristol to begin with is I don't really have anything to sell, or whatever for fans at conventions other than obviously my book compilations, and sketch cards and things like that. So anyway, the process after I blue pencil, and I typically do my blue penciling in Photoshop. I take the blue pencil Photoshop document, pull it into Adobe Illustrator where I ink. And one of the things that I do that's different from just about any other webcomic that I've run into, I'm sure there are other people that do similar, is I ink in color. So I don't know. I don't know why I decided to do it. It was just something about it that maybe it's animation related or whatever. But I just decided that there are very few of my characters that are black in terms of the ink. Most of my characters are some single or multiple color ink. And then once I've inked in Adobe Illustrator, I bring it back into Photoshop where I do my backgrounds and coloring. And then believe it or not, I pull all of it back from Photoshop back into Adobe Illustrator for the final composite. Ask me why I do it that way. I don't know. I think it had to do with the fact that I was of the opinion that having vector-based art was better if you wanted to go to multiple media.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I just felt like, I like inking in Illustrator much better than I do inking in Photoshop.
Gotcha.
I just find it, it just suits me better. But color, I would never color in Illustrator. I don't like working in Illustrator other than to do the inks, other than the brushwork.
Well, whatever works, you know. No one's judging you, so.
Well, I mean,
the vectors you can resize to anything.
Yeah.
I guess, and they're lossless.
Yeah. I have to tell you that and this also sometimes when I'm talking to younger people at conventions, this kind of is one of the things where they sometimes look at me a little strange, and I say, you know, I'm not really interested in the process or the technology or whatever. I'm just trying to be entertaining. And so if the comic is entertaining, if people have fun with it, if people interact with the characters and the characters begin to take on a reality to them, then I feel like I'm being successful. And that's really but I also put a lot of work into the process. I'm not going to kid you there. There's a tremendous amount of, it takes me an average of about 5 to 6 hours from start to finish to do a strip. So, I mean, that's a lot of process time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. Do you I'm looking at one of the recent comics or one of the characters is on the telephone or he's on a headset. So you've got that great, you know, telephone line jagged border. How do you do that? I make sort of ovals and I have the darndest time. I like your balloons because they you know, they look very organic.
Thank you. I do all of my lettering and all of my balloons in Adobe Illustrator. That's one of the advantages that I find with Illustrator is it's very good for doing that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all done in Adobe Illustrator. And the inking of the characters is done in Adobe Illustrator, but then everything else is Photoshop. the characters you're looking at are those are some plant characters. I mean, obviously, in Bug Pudding we have squirrels, we have snails, we have worms, we have alligators, frogs, lizards. Bugs, obviously.
Lions and tigers and bears.
No, don't have any lions and tigers and bears yet. Have a number of different bird characters.
You got a hog, though.
Yeah, I do have a hog. Yeah. That's Buck Snort. He's the local shyster lawyer.
Yeah, I figured he either had to be a lawyer or the mayor.
he actually was the mayor. The mayor of Lake Tuberville, that's where all the characters live. If you followed the comic, Buck Snort was the mayor of Lake Tuberville, and he got displaced in office by Rockford, who is one of my stranger characters. Rockford is a rock who, he's a talking rock that lives in a backpack.
Okay. Oh, well, okay, that makes sense, actually.
Yeah, and, well, he has to live in the backpack because that's how he gets around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's constantly conning the other characters into carrying him.
So he's just right for politics.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. The current storyline is actually one that I'm kind of it was really a stretch of a storyline because it's all about dealing with a significant illness.
Mm-hmm.
And so the main character of this particular story is one of the plants. His name is Dalton. And Dalton has discovered that he has cancer. And he's been going through the process of dealing with doctors and biopsies and CAT scans, and he's just now getting ready to start chemotherapy. But to help make, obviously it's to do a serious storyline and not have all my readers get completely turned off, I have to make sure that I keep a certain amount of humor going on at the same time. And also to give the character some depth, I wanted to have the part of the storyline that's going on right now, which is Dalton's day job is he's a talk radio host. And so he has his own talk radio program where he gives people gardening advice, which makes sense if you think about it. He's mm-hmm. a plant.
Oh, yeah.
And I always wondered, you know, behind people behind the microphone on radio programs anyway, were they really human beings or could they actually be houseplants?
So well, some of them. I wonder.
That part of what's going on there as well. But I needed to add into the storyline that he had a job and a work life, so that as the story continues to go on, and he goes through dealing with chemotherapy, and obviously he's going to lose his fronds. You know, I guess that's what you say when a plant goes bald.
It exfoliates.
Yeah. Good one.
We're using that.
Anyway, so that's what the current storyline is. Now, previous storylines have been the storyline prior to this one was a treasure hunt.
Mm-hmm.
The characters all went to an island hunting for treasure, and it gave me an opportunity to. One thing I like to do is in every story that I do, I like to be able to introduce new characters, and so sometimes changing the situational environment allows me to introduce new characters. So there were a number of underwater characters that I wanted to introduce. So in the treasure hunt story, one new character that I introduced was a stand-up comic chicken named Scratch. And Scratch gets together with Rockford. That's the rock that lives in the backpack. And they are using balloons to go. Scratch is trying to the old chicken cross the road joke. Basically, he's looking for fame and fortune. Mm-hmm. And so they take a bunch of balloons, and he and Rockford are floating through the air, trying to catch up with the other characters who are in a boat going treasure hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the balloons pop and he ends up in the ocean. Where I was able to introduce a new character, which was an octopus character. And so we had a lot of fun with Scratch and Rockford and the octopus. His name is Inkypuss under the water. Anyway, as you can tell, my stories just kind of go in different places. I had another story that was the bugs. The main bug character is a kind of a skinny bug. His name is Agile. He's I say he's an ant. I'm not sure he looks like an ant, but I say he's an ant. And he has a friend, another Bug character whose name is Fats, and Fats is always making fun of the fact that Agile is a complete klutz. And so Agile's always trying to prove that he's very athletic. So we did a storyline where Agile was he was flying around with a rocket-powered suit, and he was trying to pole vault. And then we had the tortoise and the hare bicycle race, except that Agile dressed up in a bunny suit to take the place of the hare. So he and Monroe, who's another one of my main characters, Monroe is a turtle. They had a BMX bicycle race. And that gave me a chance to bring in another new character, which was Archibald, who was a rabbit who was really very angry that he had gotten displaced from the annual tortoise versus hare race. I got to do some, I guess you'd say, some Chuck Jones tribute type stuff, because the rabbit was basically a lot like Wile E. Coyote in the fact that he was trying to destroy the bug.
Trying to win without actually doing the actual racing.
Was your question, when did I do that particular sequence?
Oh, no. It was like, you know, basically trying to win by not actually doing the actual race.
Yeah, he was putting in detours, and he tries to blow up the the station where they stop to get water, and he tries a trap door, and he gets really mad because there's another one of my characters is a frog named Slimy, who's kind of a con man. Mm-hmm. And Slimy sold him bad dynamite, so he gets really mad. He gets really mad at Slimy, and they go up in a hot air balloon, and he tries to drop Slimy onto Agile while he's riding by on his bicycle. And like I say, it's situational. I try to just let the characters be themselves, and as you put them in a funny situation, and they're going to do funny things.
There you go. We are at the end of our time for this particular episode, but I do want to thank you very much for coming on.
We thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. As I said, don't know when the show will be up, but I'll send you guys an email when it will. Once again, we've had Jerry and Rachel Kislensky on.
I like how you say it faster. Like, that's going to get you over the hurdle.
I mean, you did it perfect. My name, usually I tell people you just have to sneeze it.
From Bug Pudding at bugpudding.com. And of course, we've had Rachel on before from Last Resort with zero as an O. Do you have a different URL that also works, or is it just that one?
Rachel? I think one of my fans set up last-resort.net, but I don't use it all that much, primarily because it's basically. He basically did that one on his own, and I don't have control over the domain name.
No, it's not there anymore.
Most people have gotten a URL bookmark. They could care less.
Yeah.
I've got people who still find the website through my old Zephyr.net wow. URL. I don't know why. It's like the more traffic I get, the more it comes from there.
Well, no sense in complaining about more traffic. That is it for this week's episode.
We'll never complain about traffic.
Nope. And I've been Fess from ArchieComic.com.
And this has been Mark of AutumnLake.com.
See you next time.